Good morning. I'd like to welcome those watching remotely with us this morning. We have 56 devices that are tuning in from Texas and Illinois, Georgia, Massachusetts, Iowa, and Arizona. Glad that you are all with us this morning. We had a great Men's Day yesterday. We had the most that we've had at a Men's Day here. And 34 men were able to come yesterday. We had a great time together, great breakfast. Appreciate Matt and those that got up early to help him get a wonderful breakfast together for us. And Tim Piles did a great job challenging us to be on fire for God. And so it was a great time together. Our monthly memory verse, this is with our family devotionals. These are available on the table in the foyer where the communion is. You can pick one up there. You can always go to our church website, sandspringschurchofchrist.com, if you can remember the name of this church, and .com. You can find that, and it's on the homepage. The family devotionals are there available. But our memory verse, Psalm 5:8, what's the first line of that? Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. We're starting to get this. I love this memory verse. I've mentioned this, I think, before, but it's God's righteousness. It's not our definition of what's right living. It's God's. And then that last line, make not just my way straight, not the way I want to go always, but God, make your way straight before me. It's a great verse for us. Today's lesson is on the topic of enthusiasm. And I want to start out and confess, you know, sometimes there have been times in the past that I'll teach a lesson or maybe a small group or a class on the topic of anger. And I'll have someone in class that will say, well, Elliot, that's easy for you to talk about because you don't struggle with anger. And usually that's my wife that's saying that. But and she's right. I don't have a great struggle with anger. I'm not immune to it. But my nature is I'm just wired to be as far away from anger as I can. I do struggle with this topic. And so I want you to know that when the preacher preaches to you, he's already heard this sermon. I've already heard this sermon this week. I've already been convicted. So if you get convicted today, that's good. Let God do that. And I've already had that experience, and I needed it. So I hope this will benefit you too. Romans 12:9 says a good little passage here, just a few verses, but many things that Paul says. But he says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. That means hold tight. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. And the word zeal means great energy, enthusiasm. It's in pursuit of a cause. Zeal is energy. It's movement. Then he says, be fervent in spirit. Fervent means passionate. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Today's Living Bible on verse 11 says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. And it may surprise you that the word enthusiasm we get from a Greek word, and when you really kind of dig deeper into the history of this word, where it comes from. It comes from two words. One in Greek means in, the other theos means God. And you can hear theos, enthusiasm, in that word. Historically, back to its infancy, that word means in, full of God. Sometimes it was used even in a derogatory way toward Christians. They're too much. Too much. But it's full of God, enthusiasm. Even in the word, the English word that we would use for this word zeal, we might use enthusiasm. In that word and its history is mean in God. It's good to be enthusiastic about God. It's good. It's okay to be enthusiastic. It's okay to be excited about your God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. I want to read this passage that you're familiar with, the passage about being lukewarm. That word in the New Testament is not found very often, but it is found here. And in Revelation, when I say Revelation, your mind probably goes to the fact that Revelation is a book that's written in figurative language. It's very graphic. It's wild. And it's confusing. And sometimes it's scary. But the very first of the book of Revelation, John is recording what he sees. And Jesus speaks directly to seven different churches in Asia. And these are actual churches at that time. And one of those is Laodicea. And these little brief reports that Jesus gives to these churches, he's giving them instructions on what they're doing well and what they need to work on. Here's what he says to the church at Laodicea. The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. You understand what happens in our nation when a state declares a state of emergency. Normally it's a weather event that's happened. In our city's recent past, we had a flood that impacted many people in our community. And when that flood happened, one of the primary questions was, can we get help from government? Because as a society, we have government, we have funds that are set aside for catastrophes like this. So the word, when I say FEMA, you know what that means. You may not know precisely, but you know FEMA means money to help people in a situation like a flood. Can you imagine if Sand Springs, when we had a flood, and when the government said, we're going to send you money to help rebuild or to help with recovering from that, if Sand Springs said, we don't need your money. We don't need it, Washington. We don't need it, Oklahoma City. We're good. We'll rebuild. We have the money to rebuild. Can you imagine that? And in AD 60, the city of Laodicea did that with Rome. They had an earthquake. It damaged much of their town. They needed to rebuild, and Rome said, we're going to pay to rebuild your town. And Laodicea said, we don't need it. We don't need it. We'll pay for it. We have it. And when Jesus writes them and says in verse 17, you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. They were a little prideful. Can you imagine? Physically, in an earthly sense, they were doing great. Because I don't know of a town or a community that could do what they did. Physically, they're doing spectacular. Spiritually, not so much. You read down in verse 19, Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Jesus is trying to help them. It may sound like Jesus is frustrated with them. It may sound like he's ready to write them off. But he says, no, I love you. I'm trying to help you. I want to rescue you. I want you to repent. So let me ask you the question. They needed to repent, but what was it they needed to change? And specifically, it was zeal. They needed some passion. They needed to be excited about their faith. They needed some fire. They needed some devotion, some eagerness, some enthusiasm. They were going through the motions. And I can relate to that. Can you? Going through the motions. In our Christianity in America, it's easy to go through the motions. It's kind of easy to be a Christian in America. It's getting a little more difficult, but it's still relatively easy. They were going through the motions. God's people need to be alive. We need to be excited. We need to be excited to be here to worship God. I'm not saying we need to fake enthusiasm. I'm not saying it, since we don't look like we're on fire that we're not. I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand me. Elliot's not trying to get us moving and shaking just for the sake of looking like we're on fire. I'm saying what's in us. What's in us? Do we have the passion for God? Verse 20, Jesus says, still to Laodicea, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come to him and eat with him, and he with me. Jesus is wanting fellowship with this church. He says, the one who conquers, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, and I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is Jesus saying to them? He's saying you need to conquer. What is it they needed to conquer? Apathy. They needed to conquer apathy, indifference, being lukewarm. It's kind of a weird thought, but that's what they needed to conquer. Apathy. Stephanie and I, we like to go to the movies sometimes. We've done that a number of times. I remember growing up, you know, we didn't go to the movies a lot. Partly could not afford to. It's expensive can be to take your entire family to the movies. Stephanie and I enjoy doing that from time to time. I like it. We like to, if we can find a theater that I can push this button and do this right here. I like that. That's nice. I have to have popcorn. And then we always have this little struggle because we'll go halfway down the bucket and there's no more butter left. And Stephanie likes a lot of butter on it or whatever they're calling butter. And we love that stuff too. I don't want to know what it is, but we love it. And I'll usually have to go and get more butter. They used to have refills. A lot of times you can't do that anymore. Love the popcorn. Like the movies. We don't go very often. We went to one, and it was, I still remember this vividly, going to the movies, excited to go. We walk up there, sold out. Well, let's see if there's another movie we like. Nope. Well, I guess we'll go home. I didn't like that. Went to the movies one time, and the power went out in the whole theater. Someone had hit a electric line, and power's out. We sit there for a while. Finally comes back on. That was interesting. One time we were on the way to a movie and we were running a little late, but we still wanted to go. And so we were going and kind of watching our time, and we hit some traffic, watching our time even more. And the movie was popular, just come out, and we're thinking it may even be sold out when we get there. We turn around and come home. I like the movies. We'll go to the movies sometimes. You could call me lukewarm about movies. I'm not super passionate about it. We don't do it a lot. I'm not against it. I enjoy it. Does that make sense? Trying to help you see what does it look like to be lukewarm? All right, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. Paul says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. That means unwavering, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Abounding means to be abundant. It means thriving. Our theme this year, flourishing in the family of God. That's what verse 58 says. It's talking about in the work of God, doing work for God, doing something in God's name or within the kingdom or to glorify God, being about God's business, flourishing in it, abounding in it. Not just, we would contrast that with just getting by. Do you ever get by with something? I don't mean something wrong. I mean, you just kind of, it's not great. You're not abounding in it. It's not amazing. You're just kind of getting by with it. Our garage, if you look at our garage over the past entire history that we ever had a garage. It looks the same. And right now, our garage is full of stuff. We can finally park both cars in there again. We started out doing that, and then we moved everything out of storage into one side. That happened to be my side, so I've been parking outside the garage. And then eventually kind of whittled that down, and I have room to park my car in there now. When I park my car in the garage, when I stop, there's a space beside my door for it to open. And I get out. And I have to shut it before I can walk. But anyway, there's room. I know where to stop because that's where that notch is, where there's not boxes and junk. That's where I can open my door. When I get out, I walk between my car and a generator. Both are dirty. And so, you know, it's a little mission impossible trying not to trip the alarm when I walk by. I did pretty good today. It's a tight walk. Our garage always looks like that. I would kind of like it to be neat and tidy. I've seen some garages like that where every place has a thing and everything is in its place and stuff's neatly organized on the wall. I mean, nice. I would kind of like that, but not enough to do anything about it, to make my garage look like that. And the bottom line is, if you say, well, Elliot, why is your garage not, you know, nice and tidy? The truthful answer is, I don't care. I don't care enough. I don't care enough. I get by. I don't care enough. Jesus says, he gives a parable about the church and the weeds and the plants, and he says they'll be separated on Judgment Day. The lukewarm Christians will be separated on Judgment Day. Some Christians will not enter into heaven because they were lukewarm. And it's not because they weren't good enough. It's not because they didn't do enough. Is they didn't care enough. Can you see that? God's not after performance. He doesn't need us. He's not after us to work our way into heaven. It's not about, are you good enough to get into heaven? That's not it at all. None of us are. Well, have you done enough? That's not it either. Well, then what is it, preacher? If lukewarm is bad, the answer is, it means I don't care enough. I don't care enough because the things I don't care enough about, I get by. And that's what lukewarm looks like. And I think that deeply grieves God, that he loves us so much. He's done so much for us, continues to do so much. And I think that's what grieved him about Laodicea. They knew him, but they didn't care enough. So they squeaked by. Titus Chapter 2, verse 14 says, talks about Jesus who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. They're zealous. Why are they zealous? Because they've been saved. They've been redeemed. They've been loved by a perfect creator. We should be zealous about God's business. We should be passionate about God's business. We should be excited about God's business. Excited to come here, excited to worship God here, excited to serve, excited to talk to your friend or neighbor or family member and somehow drop some nugget of spiritual a seed that says, you know what, I've been praying about that, that war in Ukraine, that is so terrible what's going on halfway around the world, and I really hope that that war can end, and I've been praying for both sides. Can you see how easy it is to weave some passion, some zeal that we have for God in a conversation with someone? Let me ask you, if you died tonight, what would that mean for you? I want to take your mind to that thought. Now, that'll mean a few different things, but think about that for a minute. you die tonight, whatever, doesn't matter how. You might think about your family. You might think about your life, what you didn't get to do. If you die tonight, what does that mean? And I want to contrast that with, what if you knew, in contrast to that, you're going to live another 5 years. You have five more. It's a long time, 5 years. You can do a lot in 5 years. What does that mean? Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He's writing the Philippians. He wants to visit them. He doesn't know if he will because he may die. He may be killed for his faith. He says, "I don't know if I'm going to be killed or live, but if I die, that's heaven, I gain. But if I live, it's Christ." What does he mean? He means if I live, I'm going to advance Christ's name. If I live, I can reach more people. If I live, I can do something to bless God's kingdom. If I live, I can do more for God's kingdom, for the church, for Christianity, for the faith, for God. I can do something. I would venture to say many of us, when we thought about what would happen if I died, we thought about what we could not experience. We would not be able to pursue a dream of ours. I want to adjust your thinking to my primary passion needs to be, what can I do for God? What can I do for God? Now, I'm going to experience other things too. There will be joys along the way, but what can I do for God? And if I die tonight, I won't be able to do any more for God. If you die tonight and there's someone you know who's lost and you've been wanting to talk to them, that will not happen. Jesus told a story about the rich man and Lazarus, and Lazarus went to torment, and Lazarus said, "Let me go back and warn my brothers." And if we die, whether we're in paradise or torment, we will want to come back. We will wish we could come back and talk to somebody. For me to live is Christ. Verse 27. So Paul summarizes what he's saying here in this passage. He says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind." And what are they doing? Striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Striving. Yesterday, I'm cutting some firewood. I've got some that had been cut, but it's too long, so it needs to be cut shorter. And some of it's big. It's not been split yet. And so I've got my chainsaw, and I've got a couple large logs that I'm picking the limbs up and putting them on these two logs and then cutting them. I'm holding my chainsaw the whole time. So I got a chainsaw going, and this hand is picking logs up and placing them, and the good thing the chainsaw's running, because I know I sounded horrible because I'm grunting and I'm groaning and my back hurts, but I'm trying to get it is I want to get this done. It's not something that I can leisurely do. It's go time, and so it's everything I've got. I want to get it done, and I'm the body is not what it used to be. So I'm striving. You know what it looks like when you're putting everything into something? Everything you have. You're striving. Not getting by. That's my garage. I get by with that. It's okay. In 100 years, it won't matter if my garage is clean or dirty. It won't. But it'll matter if we put everything we had into the gospel. Striving. 1 Corinthians 9:19, "For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them." You may remember this passage. Paul says, "To the Jew I became a Jew, to those under the law I became like one under the law, to those outside the law I became like that, to the weak I became weak." He doesn't mean he became sinful. He means he related to people, whoever they were, wherever they were, he related to them. He tried to get to know them. He tried to talk their language because he was trying to reach them. Who are you trying to reach? Who are you trying to influence? Who are you trying to help walk with God and be saved? Verse 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." Now don't misunderstand what Paul's saying. He's not saying you're going to earn heaven. He's not saying that you're going to win heaven. He's saying be passionate. Act like you care. Act like you care. Run. And we need to be running in our faith. And that's part of what our theme is this year. We need to be abounding. We need to be striving. We need to have zeal. I'll leave you with this verse, Ephesians 5:15. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." I remind you, our time is now. And it's now because we don't know what tomorrow is. We don't know when Jesus will come back. Now, many of you are younger. And when you're younger, it feels like your future is secure and you have years before you'll face God. You have years before you'll be on the other side of life here and you won't be able to help anyone else go to heaven. You have years. And I used to feel like I had years, and I'm now to the point where I don't have, not like I used to, just because as you get older, that end date gets closer. But I remind you, young people die, and when Jesus comes, all time will stop. And we won't have another opportunity to say, you know what, would you like to come to me, come with me to my church Sunday for Friends and Family Day? Or would you like to, can I pray with you? Or have you ever thought about, we'll have no more opportunities for that. The time is now. The time is now. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. You may be here, and if you die tonight, you're not ready to face God. You're not ready. You haven't surrendered your life to God. Maybe you have sin in your life, and you've been trying to deal with that, but you want prayers for that. Whatever it is, if there's something that we can help you with, we would love to do that, and we would ask that you come while we stand and sing. Heart, love.